This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, another pair of tickets to be given away for tonight's River Dogs game. A Thirsty Thursday, we'll give away another pair of tickets in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. Plus, I was on the call last night as I fill in with the River Dogs this week on the broadcast. We'll get to my, I guess you could call it a catchphrase. We'll see if it catches on. We'll get to that later on this afternoon. Joe can be the judge. May have to use it again tonight. And in just a moment, Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks continuing this impressive run in the NBA playoffs. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. The Atlanta Braves announced that they are going to be starting Jesse Chavez tonight, who last pitched for the Braves in 2010. He's bounced around. He's played for like a different team every year since he came into the league in 2008. So the 37-year-old will be making his season debut. He gets the call up and will be pitching tonight for the Braves against the Reds. I don't want to overstate a game in June, but I felt like yesterday was a big game for the Braves and unfortunately a game they lost. It was a big game in the negative sense. And again, we're not even at the All-Star break. You shouldn't be freaking out over baseball games in the first couple of months. We still have 3 months to go in this season. It's a long season, we know that. But I will say this. I mean, that was your chance to win the series against the Mets. And before we went on vacation last week, I was saying that this is going to be this four-game series in New York could decide the season one way or another. Worst case scenario, you lose all four games, well then you're screwed. You're doomed. You're too far back, even at this point. You win all four, you're right behind the Mets for first place in the division. You're back into it. And they end up splitting the series, which is just kind of nothing. You're right back where you started. You just continue to, you're treading water. You're floating. Right? You're in the same spot you were. You lost 4 days, essentially. You lost a chance to make up. You didn't lose any ground, but you didn't gain any ground. So you split the series, and you never want to lose. That's the goal. If you don't lose series, you have a great year. Right? You don't need to sweep everybody, but if you win the majority of your series, take 2 out of 3, you split your four-game series, you're going to have an incredible year. That's what they always say in baseball. Just win the series. We're not going to win every game. Right? You lose the game, that's fine. Just be winning the series. Win more than you lose. And that's the whole objective. But for the Braves, even just mentally, there's a difference between winning 3 out of 4 and splitting 2-2. There's a difference between winning the series and splitting the series. And in the standings, that's a 2-game swing. So now, again, we're still, I mean, it's not even July, and the Braves are 5 games back. They're still within striking distance. And the Mets have blown bigger leads before. Think back 15 years ago. 2006, they really fell apart. They were up, 7 games with 24 to go, something along those lines. So they've blown leads before. But you win that game, that's a 2-game swing, right? You'd be, 3 games back instead of 5? So it's still early. Yeah, but I thought that was a big loss yesterday. They also have never been over 500. You win that game yesterday, and today you'd be having a chance to get to 500. So a lot of it is just kind of the mental side of it. But I think mentally, there's a big difference between saying you won that series in New York and you split it. There's a big difference between saying you're 3 games back and 5 games. There's a big difference between saying, hey, tonight we could get back to 500 and now saying, well, if we win the next 3, we'll be back in 500. So I thought last night that was one of those, even if it's just mental, even if it has nothing to do with the physical side, right? They'll come out tonight, may not affect how they actually play on the field, but just mentally. Or maybe for the Braves fans, for your psyche as a Braves fan. I thought last night was a big game. for those reasons. Now tonight, they go up against a Reds team that has been playing much better baseball of late, and they're rolling with a bullpen game tonight. So you step away from the Mets and you step into this series, and it's not like things are getting much easier. The Reds, they're only a 500 team, but they've been playing better baseball late. They have two of the best hitters in the league, and you know you're rolling with a bullpen game tonight with a guy who hasn't pitched all year in the big leagues. At least for the Reds, they're starting a rookie, Tony Santillan, who's making his third start. I was with him in the minor leagues. Great guy, big gamer, loves video games. Really nice guy from Texas, Tony Santillan, pitching against the Braves tonight. So we'll see how that game goes. But I just felt like yesterday, if there was a big game in June, if there was ever a big game in June, I thought that was yesterday. The Braves were playing well. You know, they shut out the Mets in like back-to-back days, and they give up 7 runs yesterday and lose. I thought that was a big missed opportunity, if there ever was one in June of a baseball season. Speaking of Atlanta sports, meanwhile, the Atlanta Hawks, they're taking care of business. They won last night against the Bucks to win their first ever game for the Atlanta Hawks. Since they moved to Atlanta, first ever time the Hawks won a game in a conference final round. In the Eastern Conference Finals. Forget winning a series, they finally won a game. And Trae Young was excellent once again. You know, I keep hearing about the Bucks' great defensive team and Giannis Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know, maybe this is just the way the NBA has gone, but for being the best defensive team in the league, you know, they get torched quite a bit. I guess the stars of the NBA are just too good. Kevin Durant had a great series. Right? He was going for over 40. Last night, Trae Young goes for 48 and 11 assists. He tied Kobe and LeBron for the most points scored by somebody under the age of 23 in a playoff game. First player ever in a conference final to go for over 45 points and over 10 assists. The Hawks were down 7 with 4 minutes to go, came back to win on the road. And this is what Atlanta's been doing the entire postseason. They went to New York, stole home court advantage there, then finished the series in New York. They went to Philadelphia, stole home court advantage there, then finished the series game 7 in Philadelphia. They go to Milwaukee, they've already stolen home court, even if they lose game 2. They did their job. Just split in Milwaukee, then you go back to Atlanta. We'll see how long this series goes, but they may end up winning this series and doing so in Milwaukee. And it's been remarkable to see for a 5 seed having to go on the road. It's like when the Giants won the Super Bowl. The first Super Bowl. And they had to go on the road the whole postseason. They went to Tampa Bay. Then they had to go to Lambeau during the frozen tundra. Tom Coughlin's face was frozen. He looked like, who was it, the Ice Miser, whoever it was, that character. His face was frozen out there at Lambeau. They won in overtime. They beat the Patriots at a neutral field. They were on the road the whole postseason, running through good teams in tough places to play. That's the Hawks right now. And I think it's good for the league for 2 reasons. Number one, because everyone needs villains. Movies would be terrible if there was never a villain, right? If it was just people having a great time. Sure, you know, we always want to be cheered up. You'd rather hear good news than bad news, but when you sit down and watch a movie, you don't want to see a movie of just people having the greatest time, like, you know, skipping through the park. You want some action. You want some drama. You want some situation. Now, you want the good guy to win in the end, but he needs to be overcoming something. You need villains. In books, in movies, in TV shows, you need that villain. In sports as well. We always have people we like to root against. Teams we like to root against. And the NBA is so star-driven, it needs those villains. In fact, the NBA more than any other league. Because it is all about the stars, and there's only 5 guys on the floor at once, and the players move around so much, so it's not so much about the team as it is the players. And they're so involved and, you know, hands-on. They're always touching the basketball, and they're involved in all the plays. Football, you may hate the free safety on, Virginia Tech. Pick an ACC team. Pick an SEC team. Oh, I hate that linebacker. Yeah, but he may only be involved in half the plays. And then even when he's on the field for half the plays, because he only plays one side of the football, then he's only involved in half of those plays. Right? It's not as big of a deal in football. Maybe you hate the quarterback. He's always got the ball in his hands. But, you know, there's not as many villains in football or baseball. You see him bat 4 times a game. Like, oh, I hate that Aaron Judge. Well, you only have to worry about him every 3 innings. Basketball, you may hate Trae Young. He's got the ball in his hands every time down the floor. So the NBA needs their villains, and it could be Trae Young. Hawks fans will love him. If you're not a Hawks fan, you may hate him because he's gone into New York, and he delivered a bow at Madison Square Garden after wiping the Knicks out of the playoffs. Right, he gave a shimmy last night to knock down a 3 in Milwaukee. He's showboating. He's got swag. He's feeling good about himself. He's beating teams in their own gym and then rubbing their faces in it. And it's what the NBA needs. They need new young stars, and they need these villains. as many people will tune in to watch LeBron as they will to root against LeBron. It's the Howard Stern line, I always say. Right? They did a study. This was in the movie Private Parts that Howard Stern did. And they did a study. And it was, you know, it's based on his career, based on a true story. But they did a study, and they found that the people that hate Howard Stern actually listen to him twice as long as the people that love Howard Stern. You need villains. You need people that don't like you, or you need somebody to root against. You'll tune in to watch them. You'll hate watch somebody or hate listen to somebody. And that could be Trae Young for the rest of the league. It's what has turned Reggie Miller into a Hall of Fame talent. Go back and look at his resume. It's going to surprise you. If I asked you, I revealed the numbers earlier. Maybe you weren't listening. But if I asked you, you know, Reggie Miller played 18 years in the league. How many All-Star games do you think he made? You'd probably say like, I don't know, 10, right? Half the years? No, 5 All-Star games. If I asked you, how many points did Reggie Miller average in his career? What would you guess? I don't know, 23, 24? He averaged 18 points in his career. Right, which is nothing to, you know, sneeze at, but it's it was never close to tops in the league. 18-point scorer for his career. He's a Hall of Fame talent. Why? Because for a large part of his career, he was a villain. People loved to root against him. Made him more popular than some of the better players in the league because they didn't have as much of a reaction or didn't get as much of a reaction from the crowd. And the other reason why this is good is because it potentially shows parity in the NBA. Maybe parity is coming to the NBA. Now, if we're being fair, if the Nets were healthy, you know, they're winning the championship. If the Lakers are healthy, they'd probably still be playing. But last year, we had a 5 seed in the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat. This year, we could get another 5 seed in the NBA Finals in the Atlanta Hawks. And not only that, but a team that was under 500 at the All-Star break. And now, leading in the Eastern Conference Finals. It gives fans a reason to continue to support their team during a bad year, thinking, hey, we can turn things around in the second half as well. Or, hey, just get to the playoffs, we can make a run. And it gives fans more hope at the start of the year that it's not just about the same old teams. The Atlanta Hawks came out of nowhere. Maybe we could be that next team. Maybe players will start going to different teams, seeing that they can go to Atlanta and win. They can go to a Phoenix and win there like Chris Paul did. But the playoffs provide an opportunity for these people, for these athletes to become stars. It happened for Luka last year, and he still hasn't even won a playoff series. Trae Young is now leading the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going on for Devin Booker right now. It happened for Ja Morant at the college level in March Madness. Kemba Walker, Steph Curry, so many others. In the playoffs, in March Madness, the NBA playoffs, the Major League Baseball playoffs, you know, a Curt Schilling. Certainly in Eli Manning. Eli Manning's career was built on 2 playoffs. He's going into the Hall of Fame because of 6 games played in the postseason. When you elevate your game at the postseason, it elevates your status in the league, and that's what Trae Young is doing as well. And I teased this earlier, but it reminds me of the movie Love of the Game. You know, there was 2 movies. I always say this. Movies, Hollywood makes the same movie twice in the same year. Well, one studio will have a movie, and they'll think, oh, that's a really good idea. Let's do the same thing. We'll just call it something different, but it's going to be the same exact movie. So in the late 90s, around 2000, we got 2 movies, 2 sports films like the same name, right, for the love of the game. One was a baseball movie. One was a basketball movie. I actually just watched the basketball movie for the first time in years. It was on TV a couple of weeks ago. I loved that movie as a kid. And I also like the baseball movie as well. Now, I think that's for love of the game. I think they had to take out the basketball. The basketball movie was for the love of the game. The baseball movie was just for love of the game. And it was with Kevin Costner, and he was a pitcher, and was pitching for the Detroit Tigers, and he was throwing a perfect game in his final appearance in the big leagues at Yankee Stadium. 40-year-old Billy Chappell, he's going for a perfect game. And in that movie, at the end, in the 9th inning, the Yankees pinch hit, and they send up a rookie. It's his first ever at-bat. And they send him to the plate in the bottom of the 9th, final batter, last chance. He's trying to break up the perfect game for Billy Chappell at Yankee Stadium. And the manager in the movie, the Yankees manager, when he says, hey, you're going to go pinch hit, go up there, right, he tells him, go wreck it, is what he says. Go break it up. And Vince Scully is the broadcaster, and Vince Scully says, right, this is a great move by the Yankees, sending up a rookie in this situation because he's brash enough and young enough to not realize how important of an at-bat this is. Something along those lines, he says. Right? He's young enough, he's cocky enough, and he's naive enough to not realize the situation he's stepping into. And I almost feel the same way about the Atlanta Hawks. It's a young team led by Trae Young, who's 22 years old. They almost feel like they're too young and too arrogant to realize what they're doing. You know, probably shouldn't be happening. Too young and, for lack of a better term, you know, young and stupid is what they always say about people. They're too young and stupid to even realize, like, this is a big moment. They're just going out there playing basketball, having fun. They're naive. They're young. This is their first experience. And maybe they don't understand how hard it truly is to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Just ask some veterans how hard it is to win on the road. And they're going out there just balling, having fun. Trae Young's got his swag going on, and they're beating all these teams on the road. It's remarkable. And if the Bucks don't make any adjustments, and Mike Budenholzer usually doesn't, it may be the Hawks in the NBA Finals because they had no answer for Trae Young in that offense last night. This great defense couldn't slow down Trae Young. And if they don't adjust, they won't be able to slow him down moving forward. I thought the Hawks were going to lose in the first round. I've jumped on that bandwagon. I hope they go to the NBA Finals, and I think it's good for the league. I think Trae Young's good for the league. I think he's one of their next stars. He's showing that this postseason. And I think the Atlanta Hawks are much like that Yankees rookie in the movie For Love of the Game, going up there, not even realizing how big of a moment it is he's stepping in. His first ever at-bat, and it's to try to end a perfect game at Yankee Stadium. That's the Hawks. First time in the playoffs for these guys, Trae Young. They're going on the road just playing basketball. They're loose. They weren't even supposed to be here. They're under 500 at the All-Star break. Just going out playing and beating these teams on the road, not even realizing, you know, how big of a moment these games are. For love of the game. It's up there. It's one of the better, we talked about this as sports films, and I forgot to even mention it on the list. A caller suggested that one. That's a good movie, For Love of the Game. Gets a little too, you know, dramatic, a little too sappy with the love story, but the baseball side of it, very good. With Kevin Costner pitching a perfect game at Yankee Stadium. Speaking of baseball, I got two tickets to give away to tonight's game. It's a Thirsty Thursday for the River Dogs at Joe Riley Park tonight, 7:05 first pitch. I got two tickets right here. You'll have to come get them at the radio station for the game tonight. If you win them and say you can't make, maybe I could try to leave them at will call. I don't know, but I have them here at the station. You'll have to come grab them and go to the game tonight, 7:05 first pitch, Thirsty Thursday, cheap beer. Third caller now will give you this final pair of tickets for tonight's game, 843-721-9500. Third caller now will give you two tickets to tonight's River Dogs Thirsty Thursday game. 843-721-9500. Third caller. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday. Really? Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, it's the return of our wrestling wrap-up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. This was the song I used to use to test my car's sound system. We've talked about this on the show. If you're of a certain age, you may have wanted to play your iPod in the car. When iPods first came out, there was no way to play them in the car. There's no auxiliary cord like you have now in cars. You could just connect your phone through a charger or through the aux cable or your iPod if you still use one of those. There was no way. So they had those tape adapters, right, that if you still had a car that had the tape deck in it, it was old enough to still have the tape deck. It wasn't new enough to have the adapter for your phone or iPod. Someone may still be driving around a car like that. You'd have to use the tape adapter. And so you'd use the tape adapter, you put the tape into the tape deck, and then you'd connect it to your iPod, and you could play your music that way. And it was great. Oh, it was one of the best inventions of my childhood, let me tell you, to be able to listen to my iPod when I first got my license. But those things were pretty crappy. I used to have to replace them like every few months, at least for me. And I took good care. I left the tape always in the tape deck. The cord, I would try to neatly, you know, put like in the center console. I wasn't yanking it around. Anyways, it would always crap out on me. I'd have to get a couple a year, every few months. But how I would know is because that song, She's a Rainbow, it's recorded on, like, the different channels, right? So you have, like, the vocals aren't on both the left and right channels. I don't know the exact terminology of the recording. But if you listen to it in the car, you'll hear it come out of the speakers, you know, like on the right side, not the left side. And you hear certain instruments on the left side that are not on the right side, you know, that whole thing. Mono versus stereo, whatever it is. So that was the case. And whenever these little tape adapters would crap out on me, that's how I could tell, was because it wouldn't play like both channels. It would still play the music, but I knew something was wrong. So that was always my test. I would play She's a Rainbow, and if I heard no words, if it only played the music, I knew, oh, my tape deck's going out on me. So that was the big test. Love that song from the Rolling Stones. And it also played a great purpose in my music listening life when I first got my license. And I have to say, wait a minute, this song doesn't sound right. Is the tape deck breaking on me? Let me put on She's a Rainbow. And sure enough, you wouldn't hear the words at all. You would just hear like the piano and the drums would come in and you say, oh yeah, this isn't right. I got to go get a new tape deck, a new tape adapter for my iPod. Ah, but what an invention that was back in the day. We'll get to the wrestling wrap-up in just a moment. First, I have to tell you about Lyerly's dry cleaners. Now they're to-go service, so it's easier than ever before. You can call or text them at 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and just regular old household laundry. You can even track your dry cleaning, see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. Call or text them, and the best part, mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, and get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's dry cleaners, easier than ever, now they're to-go service. So we were not on the air last Thursday. I took a couple of days off to go home for Father's Day, so we couldn't get our wrestling wrap-up. I know it's what the people are dying for. So it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a wrestling wrap-up. I may just take the rest of the afternoon off. Joe can just talk about wrestling till 3 o'clock, till fan talk. In fact, right through fan talk. That's usually what Bobby prefers to do. So it's been a while. It's time for the first time in a couple of weeks for our Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For Producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday Wrestling Wrap-Up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? It's been 2 weeks since we had our weekly wrestling wrap-up, yes. Which I think is we should just call it now.
I agree.
Yeah, because Wednesday used to be the night, you know, for AEW and NXT, you know, kind of a new Monday Night War kind of thing, but that hasn't panned out. But there is wrestling all week long.
Well, production is very costly around here. We'll have to see if we have any money left in the budget to change that intro.
Okay. All right. And, of course, we had a few big pay-per-views recently. WWE had Hell in a Cell this past Sunday. And the week before, you not only had NXT's In Your House, you know, NXT TakeOver In Your House, you also had Impact's Against All Odds. And one interesting thing about Against All Odds, it actually took place at two different venues.
Oh.
Most of the matches took place at Skyway Studios in Nashville, which is where Impact is filmed.
Mm-hmm.
But the main event this guy is a real world champion, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, Kenny Omega. He's AEW world champion.
Uh-huh.
He's Impact world champion. And he's AAA mega champion.
Wow.
And he defended against Moose, won that match by pinfall. That was at AEW's home base of Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so two different places there. Of course, the opening match, I'm sure. Okay, Howard, how would you have been on this one? Okay, Sammy Callahan teamed with Tommy Dreamer, because
uh-huh.
You're an ECW guy.
Yeah, love Dreamer.
And they were taking on the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Carl Anderson in a street fight.
Ooh, street fight.
Yeah.
I think I got to go with my guy Tommy Dreamer.
Okay, well, yeah, Dreamer and Callahan did win that one.
Of course. Dreamer in a street fight? You betcha.
Moving along here, NXT UK
yeah.
has a new women's champion. A couple weeks ago, Miko Satomura defeated Kaylee Ray, who crowned herself the Forever Champion.
Ooh.
Well, I guess nothing is forever then.
Mm.
All right, and then also now with the NXT TakeOver In Your House, okay, we didn't have any title changes, but we had a new $1 million champion crowned.
Wow.
L.A. Knight mm-hmm. Defeated Cameron Grimes in a ladder match for that one. And then a couple nights later on NXT's weekly broadcast, L.A. Knight attacked the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, Cameron Grimes came to help him out. So they've kind of switched roles there.
Oh.
So L.A. Knight has gone from face to heel, and Cameron Grimes now seems to be going from heel to face.
Ooh, big change.
So, you notice that there were Hell in a Cell matches on SmackDown and on Raw this past Monday.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. For some reason, they moved the Roman Reigns-Rey Mysterio Hell in a Cell match to SmackDown, reportedly because USA Network was not happy that Fox was getting a Hell in a Cell match ahead of the pay-per-view on that previous Friday.
Huh. Hell in a Cell used to be such a big deal. Now it's on just during the week. Now you can see a Hell in a Cell match on the SmackDown.
Friend of the show, Amber Nova, defeated Sahara 7 at the Shine 67 event. Shine is a major independent for women's wrestling. It's an all-women's organization.
Oh, nice.
That was held in Port Richey, Florida. And so, see, again, good things happen. And I think she was also involved with AEW's tapings last week as well.
All right.
So, good things happening for her.
Yep, that's right. You're welcome.
And then also another major independent getting ready to relaunch Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, which emerged as a top independent promotion during the last decade. They have not had an event since December of 2019 in Los Angeles, but they have a card scheduled for March 29th. Nope, August 1st. I'm sorry.
March 29th.
Okay, the last event was held in 2019 in Los Angeles, and they'd had an event scheduled for March of 2020, but that was canceled due to the pandemic. And AEW is actually going to start taking their Dynamite tapings out on the road, and they're going to be in New York City on August the 22nd at the USTA Arthur Ashe Stadium. On a recent wrestling with Brandon F. Walker, Bret the Hitman Hart, one of your guys.
Yes, love him.
He was asked who his favorite opponent of all time was. It was Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig.
Well, he was perfect. It was so hard to go up against him.
Yeah, people still talk about their match at SummerSlam 30 years ago, and he said it was just Hennig actually went out of his way to give a great match. At the end of the In Your House pay-per-view, William Regal said, "I think it's time for a change," and of course that change has come in the form of Samoa Joe, so he's back with WWE in some capacity.
Oh, nice.
NWA will have an all-women's pay-per-view, Empower, on August 28th. That will be followed up the next night with the 73rd anniversary pay-per-view. And Sheamus's Celtic Cross was stolen from the Yuengling Center. It was caught on video, and University of South Florida police are asking for help in identifying the man because Yuengling Center is on the campus of USF.
We've had, when I was in minor league baseball, that was always an issue. We would have people go into the locker room during the games and, unfortunately, steal from people's lockers while they're out playing a baseball game.
And yeah, speaking of the Yuengling Center, the Hell in a Cell was the final pay-per-view being held there. So, because they're going to start hitting the road again, so that's going to be the end of the residency as far as the pay-per-views there at the Yuengling Center.
Well, that's good. Glad they could get back out on the road.
Access TV is going to have Wrestle Week starting July 12th, and they're going to start off that Monday with Badass Movies with the Good Brothers, Pulp Fiction. So you can watch Pulp Fiction while those guys kind of host the broadcast for that night.
Perfect.
There's going to be all sorts of things that week. There's going to be a replay of the Rebellion pay-per-view from back in April. There's going to be a special called This is Slammiversary, which is leading up to Slammiversary on July 7th. John Cena, his movie Vacation Friends, will debut August 27th on Hulu.
Oh, can't wait to watch that one.
Okay. He's also featured in the new Suicide Squad trailer as the Peacemaker.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, that's supposed to be out in August as well. And also, he confirmed last night on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon that he is going to be making a return to WWE. Rumors have it right now that he's going to challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title at SummerSlam.
Nice.
AEW Dynamite, of course, you did not see it last night because of the NBA playoffs and such, but that'll be on Saturday this week. Okay, lately WWE's been having their weekly specials on the 50 Greatest Tag Teams. Now, this week they debuted the edition, which has number 10 through number 6, and this coming week they will have the top 5.
Ooh.
So, and that's going to be the who is the greatest tag team in WWE history. Now, they did point out that this was limited to teams that have been in WWE itself, so it's probably not going to have any of the legends like the, you know, the Rock and Roll Express or the Midnight Express or anything like that. Hopefully you're caught up. I know there's plenty of other stuff out there.
Oh, really? There's more? That's right.
But anyway, between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right, our wrestling wrap-up from the past 2 weeks. You know, yesterday I was on the air between this and I'm doing the River Dogs games this week, so I was on the air. I was talking for, I think, 7 hours on the radio yesterday. Today it'll probably be something similar. Tomorrow will be something similar. So it's nice. I just sit back. I take a break. I save up my voice. And Joe gets going on all the wrestling news from the past 2 weeks.
Well, oh, and we almost forgot about Bobby's favorite wrestler, Shotzi Blackheart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she appeared at NXT TakeOver In Your House. Of course, she, you know, she didn't have a match, so she couldn't drive her little mini tank to the ring. But I'm sure Bobby is glad to hear she's back from injury and you know, back in action.
Yes, that's fantastic. That's good. Speaking of those River Dogs, you know, we were talking about catchphrases yesterday. So much so that the great people, the River Dogs, great organization over there, honored to be able to fill in and work with them this week. And they're all so kind. They came out, they went out of their way to come say hello. And, you know, I know some of the people over there to begin with, but all coming by to say hello. And they were asking, hey, what's that catchphrase? I came up with something at the end of the game. We'll play it when we come back, see if it can stick as the new phrase for the River Dogs. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
What a funky finish to your Thursday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com by clicking on our show page, or free through our app, which you can download by simply searching ESPN Charleston through your app. Get our new app on your phone. You can listen live and also on demand, the podcast available there. Take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com through our free app or also TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker as well. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 8 different states on this Thursday, multiple countries as well. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday afternoon. We covered so much today, from chicken thighs to chewing and screwing, to, of course, the return of our wrestling wrap-up, and so much else in between. Dawn Staley, the Atlanta Hawks, what Trey is doing. We got to it all here on this Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, you're talking about Wingstop going to Thighstop.
Yeah.
Okay, as soon as I saw Thighstop commercial, you know, this clip on here, I was thinking, for some reason, I kept thinking of Thighmaster, that old exercise piece of equipment that Suzanne Summers used to advertise. I don't know. Maybe if you eat too many of those thighs, you probably need one of those things.
There you go.
Which some of them probably need to just to get rid of some of the COVID weight anyway.
That's true. It is a throwback Thursday. We talked about on the show a few weeks ago. It may have been when Joe was out. We talked about the made-for-TV products or like the infomercial. What products did you purchase? And, you know, like my family, I remember my parents got like a Bowflex, right? That's what it was, that machine, that all-in-one machine. It's always the workout equipment you always see advertised on TV. You know, because people are sitting around just watching TV all the time. You figure, well, you can be a little more active. And it's always the made-for-TV with all these workout products. The next big thing, the Bowflex, the Thighmaster, whatever else they have, a Shake Weight, all these other ones. You ever buy a Thighmaster back in the day?
No, I did not.
Oh.
And no, I never bought one of those Shake Weights either. Although they've been featured in some of those. I think it's Colgate does a commercial. It's like take 10 years of yellow off your teeth or something like that, and it goes back showing things that were popular 10 years ago.
Yeah, I like that commercial. Yeah, the old Shake Weight back when that was a thing. Snuggies, right? Was that what it was? Snuggies, whatever. All the other infomercial stuff. ShamWow, all the classics on a Throwback Thursday. So I'm filling in this week for the River Dogs, and I appreciate the opportunity. It was great to be back in the booth. Always loved working in minor league baseball. Well, I love broadcasting minor league baseball. I did enjoy my time working in minor league baseball, but there's so much that goes into it. You know, this week, yesterday, today, tomorrow, the weekends will be different, but it's the return to the, 12-hour days like you used to have to do all the time in minor league baseball with all the other stuff. Broadcasting was usually on the back burner. this is nice. I show up. I just broadcast the game. I don't have to pull tarp. I don't have to do anything else. I go home, get ready for the next one. So it's been great. You know, yesterday was the first game I've done. I'll be back there tonight throughout this series all weekend long. It's been great. But I said yesterday we had the actual voice of the River Dogs. Jason Kemp came on the show to hand off the microphone to me for the rest of the week. And I asked him about any catchphrases. He said he didn't have any. So I thought, well, maybe this is my chance. I have to try out some catchphrases. And if one sticks, right, then I can get the credit for it. You know, like they still at the Citadel, I still use it on the broadcast. The Fire the Cannons, which was created years ago by somebody formerly in that position, but they use it in their branding and social media and all that sort of stuff. I could do that for the River Dogs. So this was last night, end of the game. And this is not the actual broadcast. This was just recorded on my phone. So the crowd noise is a little loud. But this was the end of the game, and my signature call last night when the River Dogs beat the Green Jackets. Here is how it sounded on the River Dogs broadcast last night.
Felipe trying to shut the door. Tying run on base, two down in the ninth. And the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. And the River Dogs bite off another victory as they hold on to beat the Green Jackets 5-3, winning the first two games of this series.
Bite off another victory is what I said when they won. What do you think?
Okay, it's fitting.
All right.
You know, River Dogs.
Yeah. If they win tonight, I'm probably going to use it again. Maybe I'll try to think of something else. When I was working in Daytona, I was working at one point for the Tortugas, which is turtle in Spanish. And so whenever the Tortugas won, I would always say, "Shell, yeah." That was the expression at the end of games. And it's kind of corny, but it was, you know, same idea. That became the brand. We sold T-shirts that said "Shell, yeah." It was always our hashtag on social media. Fans would say it. Our MC on the field was, right, it became a whole thing. "Shell, yeah." That was the big thing. Anytime we won a game, that was my signature call. "Shell, yeah."
And here, bite off another victory. It's, yeah, simple. Yeah, a little corny, but then it's to be expected with minor league baseball, and you don't have to overthink it.
Yeah.
It flows, it works.
The signature lines are usually always corny. So bite off another victory. I may use that again tonight. We'll see. Wasn't anything too, it was at the end of the game, it was a win. It wasn't anything too special, right? Not anything that stands out too much. But all broadcast, baseball, for whatever reason, a lot of baseball broadcasters have that signature phrase. Howie Rose of the Mets says, put it in the books whenever they win. The Cubs is always, hoist the victory flag, whatever they say. Raise the victory flag. Their little W flag they have at Wrigley Field. The Washington Nationals is, what do they call it, like a curly W because that's their logo. There's a curly W, or put a curly W in the book, something along those lines for the Nationals. We know John Sterling with the Yankees has the famous song. He said, "The Yankees win, the Yankees win." Everyone's got their own little signature line. So we're trying that one out. Bite off another victory. Maybe I'll come up with something else related to a dog or a river for the rest of the series. But it's Thirsty Thursday at the River Dogs. You can listen to the game online, riverdogs.com, through the MILB app, MILB TV as well. I'll be on the call the rest of the week. And hopefully it's a great night for baseball tonight. Thirsty Thursday, cheap beer as well. I gave away some tickets today. And hopefully you make it out there for the game. Well, I'll be calling that game. We have Clippers tonight. This is the Clippers season. You fall behind at 3-0, you're doomed. We've never had a team in the NBA come back down 3-0. Chris Paul coming back for the Suns, no Kawhi Leonard. So it's only going to get tougher. But you're at home if you're the Clippers. 9 o'clock tip tonight on ESPN. This is your season. You have to win tonight if you're the Clippers. If you lose, it's essentially over. You fall behind 3-0, no Kawhi Leonard, you're not coming back. So tonight is the Clippers season. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston wherever you listen to your podcast. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Mara Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.